Now, Radio Radio. This week, Kenny Everett.
In my day, when you turned the radio on, it used to glow so you knew it was on. You know, and the elastoplast used to move round and round and the rubber bands used to twang. That way you knew it was on. But these days, it's all digital and there are machines that do everything and ACTs and TCAs and BBCs and PhDs and 10p off. It's all gone potty, you know. I mean, golly gee, where's it all leading? I mean, eventually they'll probably send a machine from Japan that listens to the radio for you, so you don't have to bother. You can all go to bed. Whoopee!
Up on the BBC, there's lots of fun for you and me. On the radio, on the turntable, they try to play the best that we can find. Inside the bottles of the beef, there is a considerable collection of music and plays and a vast assortment of tunes and fiddly bits of things that you can stuff right up your mouth if you like.
News. Starting in September, the BBC begins a new service for fans of popular music. There'll be light, and then there's pop, and then there's always... excuse me. Music, 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 all day on the new BBC popular channel, 247.
Radio 1 is wonderful.
We were the first people in our street with a VHF radio. Not on purpose. My father just couldn't spell. He went to the shop and said, "Oh, I'd like a wireless, please." And they said, "Hello, a sucker. We'll sell him this $8 million thing with extra vowels." And they sold him this Marconi phone. And it had the front of it. It was all knobs and switches and things. The front of it was like that material stuff. Material, that's what it was called, material. And it glowed in the dark and all that stuff, but it was VHF, or FM these days, and it was really clear. And I used to wake up at 6 o'clock, I think it was, in the morning, and listen to the start of radio, because I was so entranced with wireless. Such a fan. I used to listen to the introduction tune, and dun 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 bum 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 bum. It's like the Royal Philharmonic opening up and things, and the guys say, "Listen to attention, you swines, this is the BBC. And all that. We've got a good lineup of shows, so you'll just nail your knees to the radio for the next 24 hours, damn you." It was my first introduction to radio. Great shows like Hancock's Half Hour.
We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in
Hancock's Half Hour.
Oh, well. December the 31st. Another year over.
Yeah, it's been a good year for me personally. The first year I ever really felt relaxed and at ease.
Yes, of course. You've been out of work all the year, haven't you?
I mean, that's like old-fashioned to me, because I was around before the black and white era. I was around when it was just black, when we had things like Journey into Space, which was a space serial, obviously. And they used to pad out the serial, like when the writers couldn't come up with a plot. And they were stuck for a monster or something. They used to go, "Hey, guys, it's time to sally forth into the blackness of space." And they used to go, "Okay, Lemmy, here we go. I'll turn on the airlock control. Right, that's the first door. And now the inner airlock door. Right. Well, we're in the airlock now. Any jokes, anybody? No? Okay, it's time for the outer doors now.
Journey into space. The BBC presents Jet Morgan in Operation Luna.
Hey,
telephone in just this moment got in.
Come out, do you hear?
I can't leave it now.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I'm getting out and quick.
And here he comes.
Down quick.
He jumped.
Mitch, be careful. Don't run.
A lot of notice he's taken of that.
Good, good, Jet. That thing's alive.
Alive? How do you mean?
Well, I don't know. It began to vibrate.
Is that all?
It's enough, isn't it?
Jet, look. The dome. It's closing.
What? Yes, it is. I got out just in time.
Let's get back into the ship quick. Before we all go crazy.
Years later, I thought, hey, guys, let's do a space serial that, like, incorporates all the mystery and the sound effects and stuff, of which there are millions on disc these days, and a few jokes, because people want jokes these days, because they're starved of sensation. If they don't see a car crash every 10 minutes, they feel starved. So I thought, we'll have everything in this. We'll have smut, jokes, sound effects, background music, stereo, and all that, and it all came together in a silly space serial called Captain Kremen.
Captain!
What?
I just realized what's missing.
What is?
We came without the crew.
You're right. Every spaceship needs a crew. Well,
thank heavens I brought this.
She rummaged around in her space bag.
Here we are.
Thanks. What is it? Dehydrated instant crew. Just add water. Okay.
Gee, I hope this works, Carler.
So do I.
As we watched, suddenly it began. Out of the tin came a first mate, engineer, navigator, and sundry assorted personnel.
Golly, it's hell in that tin.
Hi, men.
Hi, Captain.
Go about your duties, men.
Yeah. Sure thing.
Gee, Carla, thank heavens you remember the instant crew.
Yeah, my memory's one of my good points.
She hitched up the other two and made off to the galley.
I'll just go fix us some victuals now.
Okay, I'll be down as soon as we catch up with my double. Hours passed by as we zoomed through the inky blackness. Then more hours passed by. And even more hours. Would this never end?
My first actual influence, because it was just sort of, oh, wow, what a great thing radio is. I never was actually influenced by it. I was just delighted by it. The first influence was Jack Jackson, because he was the first guy who actually had fun on the radio. Because all the rest of them were sort of, we better behave because we're in Broadcasting House and Lord Reith might drop a brick on us any second, because he was rather severe. But Jack Jackson had a studio in the Canary Islands, so he was free from all this collar and tie stuff. So he used to just throw a few records together with sketches, comedy sketches, and bits of daft LPs and things. He actually knitted together quite a jolly show.
Hello there, record lovers everywhere, and welcome to Record Roundabout. Some time now, the director of Jodrell Bank has been receiving strange radio signals from Uranus.
I know, for an extra $5, you'll tune both your ear holes into family favourites.
Ah, what an exciting adventure to be sure. Rocket Hancock, the first man on Uranus.
Well, I don't like it much.
Hey, they stop at all the boozers.
Shut up.
All right, everybody get aboard the capsule and strap yourselves well down, because the acceleration will squeeze you like a jelly.
What flavor?
Well, if you must know, curry. Right, everybody set? Let's go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't touch it!
Too late.
Oh, no more curried eggs for me.
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And so I come to you, my love, my heart above my head. Though I see the danger there, if there's a chance for me, then I don't care.
Was Rick Nelson.
Record shows were like, they only had two a week, I think. Pure disc jockey shows. They had David Jacobs on Saturday night, I believe, and Pete Murray on Sunday night. And when Pete was ill, David Jacobs used to do Pete Murray impressions and vice versa. When I applied for a job at the BBC, they said, "I'm terribly sorry, we're full up. We've got Pete Murray and David Jacobs." And that was full up in those days. Two DJs.
Hello there. Well, like the gentleman said, this is a pick of the 1960 Pops, because as this is the last Saturday of the year, and the last day of the year, come to that, we thought we'd remind ourselves of all the records that over the past 12 months have made the top spot, and perhaps just a few that didn't quite make it. We've over 30 discs lined up for you, and I'll bet more than just a few times you'll be saying, "Oh, I'd forgotten all about that one." It's interesting to note that out of 14 records which have topped the charts this year, 8 of them have been British. This wasn't one of them.
On the bank of the river stood Running Bear, young Indian brave. On the other side of the river stood his lovely Indian maid. Little White Dove was of her name, such a lovely sight to see. But their tribe fought with each other, so their love could never be. A Running Bear love little White Dove with a love big as the sky. Running Bear love little White Dove with a love that couldn't die.
How the time flies. It seems only yesterday that I was saying that the most popular pop in Britain was Johnny Preston's Running Bear. But in fact, believe it or not, it's as long ago as March the 19th.
Well, I've always, ever since I first heard a radio set, I wanted to really become involved, because it seems such an easy job to do. You know, saying, "Hi, it's Radio Thing and here's a record," is a terribly easy thing to do. I mean, it's a bit more complicated that you have to keep thinking of slightly amusing things to say. But the first time I really got interested in wireless was walking along the beach at Liverpool, stepping in and out of sewage, like looking out to sea, and just beyond the horizon was Radio Caroline North. It had just sailed into the Mersey estuary, and I was walking along with this rather heavy transistor radio. I think it was, yeah, it was probably one of the first. It was an old Philips with buttons and switches and knobs and bits of elastic sticking out of it and springs. And I was listening to Caroline North and all these guys having a terrific time. They're like, "Hey, ding, ding, there's a seagull on the transmitter," and playing loads of records and having a really good time. I thought, that's for me. I know you can't walk in one direction for more than 2 minutes without falling off the edge, and there's no restaurants and the food's probably dreadful. And all that turned out to be true. But it was a lot of fun. It sounded like it on the air. That's the secret of wireless. Sound like you're having fun.
This is Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station, England's first commercial radio station.
I made a serious attempt to get to the BBC before the pirates by making a tape in our front room on two tape recorders that I bought with my newspaper round. It was called The Morris Cole Quarter of an Hour Show, and it lasted for 10 minutes. And it wasn't even my... That was what was my real name then. And I sent it to the Home Service, and they sent me a telegram back saying, "Jolly good, do come and get interviewed." So I raced to London and was surprised to find carpets everywhere, carpets that reached to the edge of the wall. You know, instead of in Liverpool, it's just in the middle of the room and the rest is lino. And people going, "Darling, fabulous show, lovely tie, fabulous suit, fits you like a glove. Oh, thank you. Shame it doesn't fit you like a suit." And things like that. Jolly people. Because in Liverpool, everyone wants to hit you, but in the BBC, they don't. So I thought, hey, this is good. I'll try and get a job here. They played my tape on the radio and said, "Well, that's fine. Thank you. Goodbye." I said, "Oh, I want a job. I want a job. Please, carpet, central heating, please." And they said, "No, no, sorry. We can't give you a job. We've got two DJs already. But why don't you try this Pirate Johnny thing that's just sailed up the Thames Estuary? Radio something, London, is it? They'll probably shape into something for a few weeks. Try them." So I sent the same tape. Wilfred Diath, my lovely producer, who's since been fired from the BBC for being avant-garde, he sent the tape to the pirates. I was on the next day, bobbing around in the North Sea, honking.
2 minutes until KC time. 2 minutes and 8 seconds. 2 minutes and 7 seconds. 2 minutes and 6 seconds. Well, I could stand here counting all day, but I won't. I'll just tell you that Dave Dennis is back tomorrow, ladies. Dave Dennis!
Don't forget to miss me.
Oh.
Don't forget, T.W.
How
dare you if you do!
Now, how could we forget T.W.? He'll be back too, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow. Forget T.W.? The man who brought us... And not only that, the first person in this country to really pioneer the... I mean, how could we forget him?
This is wonderful Radio London, where you're hearing things, where you're hearing things.
Sweet as roses in the morning, and you to me are soft as summer in that dark and lovely shade. That's something red. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. The concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains crumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. And that's the way it's meant to be.
After Liverpool, it was terrific fun because it was all jolly, and you met a lot of silly Canadians and Americans and Australians who were the other DJs, all having lots of fun. And we met big stars like Ed Stewart and Tony Blackburn, you know. And actually, Tony was on the air once when I was in the mess, sitting around twiddling my thumbs and watching TV, because we had a black and white TV in the mess. And we were all watching this fab program, and Tony was down in the studio broadcasting away. And every now and then he would cut through onto the screen. When he talked loudly, the screen would go... And we said to Russ Tollefield, one of the technicians, "Would you go downstairs to the transmitter room and turn him down a bit?" He said, "Oh, yes, please." And he went... Down to the transmitter, turned it down from 50,000 watts to about 25. So the only people who heard Tony that day were the people on the shore in Frinton.
10:11 on the T. Cozy Show. A beautiful record there. Bobby Rydell there with the Revive 45, one that was released, let me see, when I was a teenager, still in short trousers, and going to school about 6 months ago. 16 and a half minutes past 11 on Fun Radio London. Here's the number 8 sound in the Terrific 10 this week from the Stones. It's called Let's Spend the Night Together.
Don't you worry about what's on your mind, oh man. I'm in no hurry, I can take my time, oh man. I'm going red, my tongue's getting tired. I'm up ahead, my mouth's getting dry. Feel the cha-cha-cha, oh man.
Let's spend the night together. Now I need you more than ever. Let's spend the night together.
Strange boy, that Blackburn. Yeah, I mean, he'd only been on Radio London for a few days. He came over from Caroline, which is about a quarter of a mile away, which is very handy when we ran out of milk. He came over and said, he's a very arrogant young man, because he had the teeth and the hair, you know, and we didn't. So he was sitting in the mess again one day, reading the papers, week-old papers, and he suddenly burst into the room and said the most extraordinary thing. Burst! I'm going to be the greatest DJ in Britain one day. You just see if I'm not. Oh. Very strange young man. But he was rather good on the air. I mean, he had this confident attitude and he did all the right moves and laughed a lot, especially at what he'd previously said.
Number 8 this week from the Stones, let's call Let's Spend the Night Together. And of course, when you listen to the Tony Blackburn Show, you not only get hot records, but you also get a bit of scandal as well. And you know that record, Let's Spend the Night Together by the Stones, it was recorded under the influence of Sherbet Dad.
The Tony Blackburn Show!
The ship was riddled with interesting people, though. I mean, from all corners of the world. There was a Canadian person called Dave Cash, and we got on instantly the day we met. We were just right for each other on the radio. We bounced off each other and made wonderful music together. And when we went in front of a microphone, it was just jolliness, jolly, jolly, jolly. And there'd been no shows with two presenters up until then, I believe. And people used to write in and say, what a terrific idea, two people on the wireless, twice as much jolliness. And we formulated a show called The Kenny and Cash Thing. And people used to write in and say what fun it was and would we do more. And we used to do gigs on land when we came off. But the shows were rather jolly. And we kept each other awake. Because people have a tendency to fall asleep at the microphone, you know. It's a very strange phenomenon. But we used to keep each other awake, you know, with all the bouncing jolliness and the fun and the jokes.
That's Billy Joe Royals called Down in the Boondocks. And we have a letter for comment, so I'd like to add my comment and hand it over to Kenny Everett. My comment is...
Thank you very much. I love you in the office. It says, dear sirs, yesterday afternoon, 26th of August, 1965, while listening to Kenny and Cash on Radio London, I decided to tape record some of your excellent records for future listening. Nappy man. But to my dismay, I was halfway through recording a record when Kenny and Cash started talking over the recording and completely ruined the recording. Could you please tell me why they do not announce the record and then be deathly quiet until the end like other disc jockeys? Well, let me tell you, matey, if you tune to a certain station called the British Bucket Company, you can get all you want because they've been dying for 18 years.
I thought I was being quite clever once. I thought, hello, it's 1966 and I'm a marina fence bobbing around here. So I better quit while I'm ahead. Before they stopped, before Harold Wilson put the boot in, I thought, I'll get out of this and join the BBC. I'll be there ahead of the rest of them. So I came to the BBC and I just sort of hung around the corridors. I got into Broadcasting House. Here's a trick, folks. I got into Broadcasting House by carrying a big metal tape spool under my arm, and they thought, hello, he's one of us. He's carrying one of them metal tape spool things. The earliest job I did, well, it was before Radio 1, actually, before they thought, hey, let's go groovy, was when it was the light programme, which was light entertainment. And I used to do silly jingles for a show called Where It's At.
This is Where It's At with Chris Denning.
Thank you. thought, hello, this guy's got something here. He can do two voices at once. So let's have him do an interview instead of all just the jingles and promos and things, promotional bits and pieces. So they sent me off to Abbey Road because they had heard that there was a group who were doing rather good things called the Beatles. And they sort of snapped away a few cobwebs from their lips and said, let's send Everett. He's one of them, isn't he? He's sort of a Liverpudlian. Here they are too. So I went along to Abbey Road and there they were, squatting on the floor, twiddling their guitars in between... Oh, Lovely Rita and Day in the Life, I think, something like that. And they had a little opportunity to give me an interview.
This is James Paul McCartney, Upper 5B,
yes.
Saying that Kenny Everett
yes.
is just about one of the finest disc jockeys in the world, as disc jockeys go, aren't you, Kenny?
Oh, you're lovely.
Yes.
While sitting at my piano one day, a magical thought came my way. For the BBC. Kenny Everett is Lenny, together on the wireless machine. Kenny Everett is Lenny, all together on the wireless machine. Oh, Mr. Everett, Mr. Severino, this number of Sneer.
How long did you take over technical details like phasing?
Phasing is great.
Double
flanging, we call it. Now, there you go. Right, we're on the same thing. Flanging is great, right.
Yeah, you used it on Lucy in the Sky.
You name the one that isn't on, you know, or you name it. You spot it, you get a prize, and you get a Sergeant Pepper badge.
Right, and a paper mustache.
Try anything you like. The phasing is too much.
The benefit of Mr. Kite. There will be a show tonight on trampoline. The Hendersons will all be there. Later Pablo Fank is there. What a scene. Over men and horses, hoops and garters. Lastly through a hogshead of real fire. In this way Mr. K will challenge the world. Celebrated Mr. K performs his feat on Saturday at Bishop's Gate. The Hendersons will dance and sing as Mr. Kite flies through the ring. Don't be late. Mrs. K and H assure the public their production will be second to none. And of course Henry the Horse dances the waltz.
Listen, this film.
Oh yeah.
Tell us something about the storyline.
Well, you see, it's about a group of Covent Garden strange people on a coach tour around anywhere, really. And things happen to them, you see. Something got gobbly, diddly-diddly-diddly, magical mystery tour. And there's a little scene.
Yeah, did you get some average... No, I haven't got the record. Should I play it?
Yeah.
All right.
A very gradual procedure, the way the BBC worked me into the system, because they don't like sudden shocks, you know? They don't just say, I say, you look good, come in.
They say, right, well, you can empty the milk bottles and clean the steps and, you know, maybe we'll give you 2 seconds on Sunday morning to start off with, and if you shape up, we'll try you out on Saturday evening one day if you behave. So I had a show on, one show a week at midday called Midday Spin, which everyone's forgotten about. Thank you, everyone. And then they put me on Saturdays. That was a really rather jolly show, but it was a bit lonely because it was just me and my producer and a lot of records. So what I thought would be a jolly thing to do would be to invent a few characters. And I found a real person walking around Broadcasting House. He was the husband of one of the producers. And he had a lovely fruity, plummy voice, sort of voice. And I thought, what a great butler he would make. So he was my butler. I was like, what was that? Crisp! Crisp, bring me that record, you swine. And he'd come over and we'd chat away at these fab plummy voices. And then I thought, that's good, but we need a silly voice now. So I invented Gran. She was my silly old grandmother, and she used to dust around the place and do daft things and kick her legs in the air and be disgraceful. And the way we used to do that was, in the studio we had a recording machine, and while the record was on and people were listening to the record, I would rush over to this machine and go,
Ooh, do you think so? Oh, that's a good idea. Really? Well, I'll be blowed.
And things like that. Leave spaces for me to talk. And then I'd pull the cassette out, back to the microphone, push it in, press the button when the record finished, and I go, well, Gran, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
And we'd have this conversation going, which I'd just recorded while the record was on. It was all fresh stuff, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, Dion. That's much too slow. Come on, man. We've got to fit 20 records into this. What do you think you're doing? Come on, hurry, hurry!
Anybody here?
That's better.
See my woman never hand. Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems good they die young. You know I just looked around and he's gone.
Dion's got a new album out, actually. I think it's only in the States, though, and that one is in the States charts, but nothing here, unfortunately. I don't think it is a seller here, but it's quite a delightful sound. Abraham, Martin, and John have discovered a way of keeping this program really fast and going and really get 20 records into the space.
Really, sir, yes.
Just by keeping air out, you know, keeping
yes,
granny.
Yes, yes.
You too.
Back to the broom cupboard,
conspiring
madam.
Conspiring against me. I'm just a feeble female.
Oh, Lavinia. Lavinia.
Oh, Crisp, come into the corner and help me to get off this blues.
Yes,
madam. I've just developed the blues.
Give
dear.
Me your hand, Lavinia.
Oh, Crisp.
Oh, Lavinia.
Oh, this is such a romantic moment. Somebody get a camera or a bucket of water or something.
Could we have a little romantic?
No, we can't. Mr. Bassman's on you, silly twist.
Mr. Bassman, you've got that certain something. Mr. Bassman, you set that music thumping. To you it's easy. When you go 1, 2, 3, bit of a bop bop
bop. Oh, that's got to be one of the most hilarious records ever written. Mr. Bassman by Johnny Sim. There's a bit in the middle where it goes horrible, isn't there? Where they all join together.
Mr. Bassman.
Oh, it's exhausting the wireless, isn't it?
Oh, it is indeed.
Should we call this computer, Crisp?
Well, what about Cecil, sir?
Why?
Well, it's a very cultured computer.
I was thinking of Phoebe.
No, sir, I don't think it's female.
Do you think it's a male computer?
Oh, very definitely, sir. It's that build.
You've had a peek, haven't you?
Yes.
Oh, you're naughty thing. Hang on, bring it in again, will you? Wheel it in.
Immediately, sir.
Sounds of wheeling in of computer. Hey, computer. Hello? Give it a twinge with the screwdriver, will you?
Well, just a moment, sir.
Oh, question. What do you think we could do to improve the show, eh?
Hey, for a start, why don't you get rid of that old woman?
Ooh.
She's stupid, old, and inefficient. She should be liquidated.
Oh, blimey, that was a nice thing to say, wasn't it? We'll have to get a bigger screwdriver, I think.
Well, I'm now closing down for tonight. Because I've got the tired transistor. Good night.
Good night. I can see all these people edging me out of this show, finally. Imagine, we used to have real stars as well as all these invented ones. I mean, we used to have
big international numbers flying in from all over Los Angeles, Las Vegas, etc., just to be on my cuddly show. I mean, one day we had Harry Nilsson come in. I mean, he was a big star in this. He seems to have faded away a bit now. Deeply talented man, did lots of hot records. And he did one, which I got the backing track of, and snipped it into a loop. So it just went like that over and over again. And I surprised him with it live on the air. I said, Harry, yes? I said, we've got a piece of music here, and you're going to sing along with it now! And he did, live, and all in perfect harmonies, and hit every note right on the nail.
And now, Harry Nilsson.
Things seem to be going too well. I thought, this has got to end any day. I'm having too much fun here. And sure enough, we had a mammoth disagreement. I think I disagreed with their programming policy. Or I wanted some new equipment around the place or something. Or the elastic band had snapped. So I let them go their merry way. But I missed them after about a week, and I sent them a note complaining about the lack of me on the BBC. I thought it'd probably be jollier to put it on tape.
Dear Seen and Heard, this is the first time I have ever written to you in my entire life, and would not have done so if my request was not of the optimum gravity. Once upon a time, my Saturday mornings were a delight unequalled by any experience I have ever known. Now they are laid waste like a barren tragedy. Since Kenny Everett was whisked out of our lives, how can we go on like this? What is there left? Lives a gay whirl by replacing this genius back in our midst. On behalf of the entire British public, I appeal to you, don't I, chaps?
Yes, Kenny, you certainly do.
I think the BBC thought, we better not fire him entirely. We'll smile on him every now and then. By this time, I'd moved away from England to Wales to a farmhouse in the mountains, and I built a little studio over the cow shed. And when the cows weren't mooing or doing, I actually got the odd show in. And the BBC were very kind. They said, well, we can't have you absolutely on the wireless waves, but we will let you do the odd excerpt of your stuff, and we'll put it in on Radio 4, on the Kenneth Robinson show. And I used to do silly little bits and send them by rail, and the BBC would slot them in, you see.
Hello and welcome to Radio 4 and a programme of sumptuous wit and amusingly light-hearted bantering, chaired by a chap who needs no introduction and certainly carries it on with an air of delightfully intimate fun and good taste.
And, of course, we do mean Kenneth Robinson, who's sitting in a corner of the studio in London, just dying to introduce a flood of fabulousness under the title, If It's Wednesday, It Must Be.
And then, after a while, they decided I'd learned my lesson, and I could do a real show. So they let me do a half-hour thing, or an hour every week, and they used to get the tape. I used to drive like a hairy thing down the mountain after I'd done the tape, deliver it to Swansea Station, which is about 50 miles away, and this steam train would take it to Broadcasting House. And it was quite good because they could edit out all the bits that they didn't like. And it used to be an hour show. It used to come out at about 23:50 after they'd taken all the bits out that they didn't like. I remember once I introduced a record. It was, I think it was the Four Tops, and it was Ain't Nobody Like the One I Love. And I said, here's a great record. It's called Ain't Nobody Like My One-Eyed Love. And they snipped it out so it wouldn't offend all the people in the audience with one eye. Funny lot of you.
Ain't no woman like the one I've got. Ain't no woman like the one I've got. Ain't no woman like the one I've got.
Every day the sun comes up around her. She can make the birds sing harmony. Every drop of rain is glad it found her. Heaven must have made her just for me.
I always knew that commercial radio would hit land. Even when I was on the Pirates, I thought, this is a natural progression. I mean, it's a money-making enterprise, and it's quite jolly, and it's cheap and free and things. It's bound to happen eventually. I didn't know it would happen so soon, though. While I was at the Beeb, I heard rumblings. So I thought, hello, better get girded up, Ken. So I bought a stereophonic attachment for my studio, and I was all ready. My loins were girded when it happened. And there it was, in stereo, suddenly. And I've always been fascinated by commercials because they're little cameos of brilliance, you know? They're like little shows in 30 seconds. And some of the good ones are really good. And, of course, America has it and has had it since the beginning of time, or before. And there's some really great, daft American commercials. Here's one, Folky Poos, for
The Shrine of Light. Westlawn Memorial Gardens introduces The Shrine of Light Mausoleum, a non-sectarian mausoleum offering a lasting memorial in beautiful surroundings. Each crypt is a clean, dry, ventilated chamber into which only the casket is placed. A marble or granite tablet memorializing the departed loved one is placed in front of the crypt. The Shrine of Light is a new mausoleum, but this type of entombment is as old as the history of man, with Jesus Christ being the greatest personage of all time to be entombed. Cost is another advantage of the Shrine of Light Mausoleum. Westlawn offers a special plan. Pre-construction prices while giving you months to pay with no interest charges. The only disadvantage of the Shrine of Light Mausoleum is that there are only a limited number of crypts available. Pre-plan your needs. Call now for more information. 584-0510. The Shrine of Light Mausoleum at Westlawn Memorial Gardens. 584-0510.
Never knew Jesus Christ was a personage. And it wasn't long before we were doing that sort of thing in London. There was this station called Capital Radio, which serves London, and I joined that as soon as it opened, because they were stereo and it was new and glittery and everything. But they had this music policy where, hey, we're stereo, we better play classy music. So they invented this policy of playing like Simon and Garfunkel and the Eagles and all that stuff that now people think is great, but then it was quite a shock. And Radio 1 was playing the Snivelling Rats and all sorts of punk horror. I hate the world. All that stuff. And of course the audience loved it because it was jolly and bouncy and we were going, hey baby, you're the chick for me. And they were all going, what the hell's this? Even though it was stereo, it was really rather boring. And Radio 1 swept the board. I mean, the first ratings we got were sub-zero. I mean, they were below grid level. We didn't even register on the chart. So they said to me, get down here from Wales. Forget all this sending shows by train. Get down here and do them live. You and Dave Cash, you're going on the air together. So we did the breakfast show together, the two of us reunited, and we played all sorts of dreadfully common music. And of course, the ratings went whoosh, but I really preferred the early kind of music, because let's face it, folks, the rest of the world's caught up now, and they're all playing groovy stereophonic stuff. Like, this is the one we used to play in the old days, and we used to sit in the studio thinking, this is for me, while all the audience was sitting listening to Radio 1, so we were enjoying ourselves.
Tell me the truth, how do you feel, like you're rolling so fast that you're spinning your wheels, don't feel too bad.
can you say? Just go along till they turn out the lights. There's nothing we can do to fight it.
No man's got it made till he's far beyond the pain. And we who must remain go on living just the same.
I once knew a man, very talented guy. He'd sing for the people and people would cry. Hear it in his voice and see it in his eyes. So he traveled along, touch your heart, and then be gone. Like a flower, he bloomed till that old hickory wind called him home.
My man's got it made. He's gone far beyond.
The Eagles and My Man in Stereo. Actually, when I was on Capital, we had this terrific idea. It wasn't my idea, it was the technician. I was playing a thing, a horrible record one day called, it was something about a man who walked into the sea because his chick had ditched him. It was a horrible record, but it was terribly popular. And my chicks ditch me, I better walk into the sea and die. It was like that, and the technician phoned through and said, "My God, this is terrible. Hey, why don't you do a show of terrible records?" And I said, "Hey, folks, I've just had this terrific idea. Why don't you send me all your awful records and we'll do a bottom 30? And they sent in sackloads of terrible rubbish. And after about 4 weeks of sifting through this chronic muck, I found about 30 really great, awful records. There was a thing, Patrick McNee and Honor Blackman, Kinky Boots, which went on to be a hit. I mean, was a hit, but that was awful. Nobody liked that. Even the people who bought it didn't like it. And the one that got to number one, because we did a survey, the best worst record that they had was a thing called I Want My Baby Back, which is about a guy whose chick had died. There's a lot of death in these awful records. The man's chick died, and he decided, I can't live without you, so he dug her up. And that got to number one.
Starring all the records that you've sent to us and voted the most ever made in the history of the world.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
Oh, Sam, I'm going to find out what this is all about.
You'll hear the worst records ever made. The worst load of ever turned out on disc.
It's horrible. It's repulsive.
The world's worst wireless show.
Even Vincent Price says,
I'm Vincent Price.
The world's worst wireless show this Sunday at 3.
Well, we were about 3 miles from home when all of a sudden it started to rain. And I do mean rain. I couldn't hardly see nothing. Well, we kept driving for about another mile when all of a sudden I see this stalled car right smack in front of me. Well, I wasn't about to slam on the brakes because it didn't have none to start with. So I swerved to the left, and what do I see? Some mush head on a motorcycle heading right at us. And I knew at last, me and my baby were about to meet the leader of the... Pack. Well, when I come to, I looked around. And there was the leader. And there was the pack. And over there was my baby. And over there was my baby. And way over there was my baby. I want my baby back. Gotta have my baby back. I miss her oh so much. Can't live without her touch.
I think our would get bored if I just played records, 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 pop records. And I think the audience notices if you're bored, because it shows it in your voice. And if you're not bored, they won't be bored. If you're bored, forget it. So I think I amuse myself and in turn amuse the lovely audience by playing unusual things. I think I was the first DJ to play classical music in between all the pop, because it's pretty. Classical music's really rather good. And I discovered this for myself after I left school, because at school they hammer it into you. Classical music is jolly good stuff, damn you all. And I thought, oh no, Shakespeare and classical music, get me away from this. But then I'd rediscovered it in about the late 60s, and I thought, hey, this deserves an airing, this Mozart stuff. Or anything unusual, really. Pieces of comedy records like Jack Jackson used to do, that's good too. I think the audience would get bored if it was just pop record intro, time check intro, weather intro, record thing. I think you need to have something daft and silly, or something classical, something out of the ordinary, a nice contrast to the general run of pop. Radio has tunes, folks. It has tunes and all sorts of interesting stuff and road reports, but it doesn't have any money. They're rather poor, you know, these broadcasting chappies. That's why I went into television, because Philip Jones, the leader of Thames TV, offered me gigantic amounts over the phone one day. He said, oh, you poor starving radio person, I know you love it, but come over to us, we have big bucks, you know. I said, there aren't any, there's no bucks big enough, Philip, go away. I'm living in a lovely old pub in the Cotswolds, and I love doing radio, it's so silly. I mean, you can create a whole scene just with one sentence and a few sound effects. And with television, you need scenery and makeup and glue and beards and cameras and horror and scripts and things. And he said, oh, do come, I'll add another zero on the end. Good night, Philip, click. Next week he'd ring again. Oh, I've put two zeros on the end now, please come to Thames. No, go away, Philip. But eventually my wife said, hey, we do need a new washing machine and various other things. And we are dying of starvation, so would you please do something? So the next time he rang, he said, 50. I said, done! Thank you, Philip. I'll be round tomorrow morning. So it does have big bucks, but it's not half as much fun as radio, because with radio, as I said, you can create a whole scene just with one sentence, and it is terrific fun, because it's your product from beginning to end. You go in there with a bunch of records and a few tapes and bits and bobs and a few buttons and switches and sound effects, and you can create a silly space serial, you can create an adventure story, or just a daft bit in between records that sounds good on the radio. You can't do that with television. You need $1 million, props men, scenery, glue, horror. But as I said, folks, there's money in it. In the old days of Radio 1, the records used to just be something I played while I was getting my next bit together. You know, the silly voices and things. I used to go, silly, silly bit, 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 record. And while that record was on, it gave me 3 minutes
to try and figure out the next funny bit. So records were just fillers in those days. But as I got old and crinkly and knotted around the edges, the music's become more important to me. And I actually adore music. I play a lot of classical stuff on the radio because that's every bit as good as pop, if not better. But music is terrific now, and I think DJs should just shut up. Because we used to have a sign nailed to the microphone in the old days by the program director. It said, if you haven't got anything to say in your 10 seconds, shut up! But I think sometimes it's entertaining in the middle of records, I mean, in between records, if you can concoct a silly jingle, or if you can play a daft bit that's amusing, or you can play a record that's unusual. But I generally think DJs should be shot.
Radio was produced by Kevin Howlett. The series consultant is Tim Blackmore. The series continues next Thursday at 9 with Paul Gambaccini.